we would like to welcome Pastor Craig, who's going to share this morning's word with you.
Morning, church. That's better.
Let's get into this morning's message. And as I've already mentioned, Pastor Kerry, now last week, those of you that were here, he mentioned movements and revolutions, okay? And he took this quite broad brush overview of things that were going on 50 years ago in the world that seem, in a slightly different context, to be happening again in the present day. And the crux of his message was, how are God's people going to stand up today? What does it look like for God's people to start a new movement, a new outpouring today? And I really want to continue where he left off, but I want to take a far more granular approach and look at the move of God that God is wanting and preparing right here at Hillside. You see, I believe in the natural and in the spiritual that times they are a changing. And we've got some significant changes coming up. And it's funny, just two of the changes, and I've spoken to a few of you, and some of you have been like, what? What do you mean this is happening? I'm like, yeah, we announced that a few weeks ago. So a couple of changes, just a couple of changes within our pastoral team. Pastor Kyla and Pastor Chrissy, if you haven't already heard, they're moving on. They're moving into new territories. So they're actually leaving Hillside in the next couple of weeks. And we have the privilege of hearing from both of them. They're going to both preach, Chrissy next week and Kyla the following week, before we pray them out and into their new territories with their families in a couple of weeks' time. So that's something that is happening in the natural, right? And it's a big change because, you know, these guys are part of the fabric of this place. I remember when I arrived at Hillside and everyone was so concerned with getting me saved. I remember going to these youth conferences. There was the first youth conference I went to. I think it was a Youth Alive event. I'd never been to anything like that. I was about 20 years old. And I remember this preacher, he was just dynamic and he had a great word. And I thought, this is awesome. And then he gave this thing called an altar call, okay? And I had never seen one of them ever. But I thought, wow, and he's telling everyone to shut their eyes, okay? Bow your heads. I'm like, okay, cool. What's going to happen now? And because I'm a newbie at this game, I'm like, I'm not closing my eyes. I got to check out what's going to happen here. And I remember, he counted down or something like that. He did the 3-2-1 thing, like, okay, put your hand up if you accept Jesus today. And I'm like, this is so amazing. But my eyes are open. I can see hands going up all over the room. And then I turn to my left and I remember this group of youth leaders, Pastor Kyla was one of them. And I remember they were all looking at me. And I'm just like, well, what's up, guys? Well, and I remember how passionate they were about seeing me get saved, and how disappointed they were that my hand wasn't up and my eyes were looking at them. And that was way, way back. And I just remember, you know, Pastor Chrissy and Pastor Kyla faithfully serving in this place for such a long time. And I love the way they've served. I love their faithfulness. So it's a big deal, actually, that they're moving on. But it's not all bad news either, because they're moving on to some exciting, exciting things. Now, there's also these changes that are happening within our congregation. There's this birthing of some real Holy Spirit-led kind of new dawns, I guess, for within our church. And I'm going to share some of those things a little bit later on. So there's things that are happening with people going out. There's things that are happening with people coming in. There's things that are happening with the people sitting in these very pews. They're not pews, are they? They're seats. I'm old school. I've heard your stories. I know God's at work. But it would be absolutely remiss of me to pretend that when change comes, it's easy. And that when change comes, that it doesn't cause discomfort or it doesn't shake some of the norms in our life. You see, some of us embrace change and everything that comes with it. And then there's others of us that absolutely resist it and kind of freak out a little bit. You know, in the last few weeks, as I've been preparing for this morning, the theme of change has been repeatedly brought to my attention, okay? In our office, just after Easter, we were in need of some changes to our IT infrastructure, okay? Our computers, basically. And for you IT nerds out there, you'll know what I'm talking about, okay? When the server needs a bit of work. And we desperately needed that. And I spoke to our IT guy, he said, "Craig, I'm going to upgrade the systems. I'm going to change things over. It's going to work brilliantly. It's going to take us, it's going to take Hillside into the next few years with a really stable IT infrastructure." Now, for some of you, you won't care. That, for me, was like, wow, that's quite exciting. Because I'm a bit of an IT nerd like that. So I said, "Look, what's going to be the impact?" And my IT guy, I'm going to call him out, his name's Andrew. He says to me, "Craig, some of the stuff, they ain't even going to notice. It's going to be minimal disruption. I'm going to do this on the day when none of the staff are even in the office. Like, there'll only be a couple of us in. I'll change everything over. You won't notice." I hear you. You know what's coming. So, you know, with this kind of minimal disruption kind of mindset, I said, "Yeah, push the button, Andrew. Let's do this." Because it sounds good, right? Well, my goodness me, I came in the following day when all the staff were here. "Craig, where are my emails gone?" "I don't know. I'm not the keeper of your emails." "Craig, what's my password?" "Your password for what? I don't keep your passwords." "My password for everything." "Craig, why can't I use the printer?" "I don't know." And in the back of my mind, I got minimal disruption. I got, the staff won't even notice. Ringing in my ears. And I laughed because in all honesty, even in that situation, God was just giving me an example of what he's doing at Hillside at the moment. Because he's in the process of realigning things. He's in the process of refining things. He's in the process of redesigning some things. And I believe that that is happening within our church organization. But I also believe from my conversations with a number of you that he's causing that to happen within our people. You know, some of you were here last week and you heard a prophetic word that Pastor Kerry shared. That prophetic word came from Pastor Margaret Court from Victory Life. And she spoke it out, I think it was a couple of weeks ago now, when we went to the VLI day up at Victory in Osborne Park. And she said, for those of you that missed it, I'm going to put it up on the screens. He is realigning, refiring, and redesigning. He is preparing a new way for you and the church. Favor has come to Hillside and doors are opening. There's a fresh breeze coming. A new breeze that will be refreshing. I see a river coming from the hills that is already washing and cleansing. Everyone is in it. And some are being swept away to new positions, being strategically placed in this nation. This is something to praise. Do not be scared or anxious for them, as this is my way. Blessing will flow for everyone. Amen. You see, I love that last line. Blessing will flow for everyone. You see, that's the exciting part of that prophecy, isn't it? We all like that last line. Blessing will flow for everyone. But there's more than just one line to that prophecy, right? And I hope that you're encouraged that a fresh breeze is coming. But I know that God wants us to be aware that this is a time of His preparation. You see, so much of this word is about the future. A redesign, a refiring, a realigning. So if you heard that word last week or this, I hope you're encouraged. The fresh breeze is coming. A new breeze that will be refreshing. It will be. It is coming. But God is currently preparing us for it. So how do we step into all that the Lord has for us? You see, God has been speaking to me about this preparation and this refreshing before and after this word suddenly turned up from Margaret Court. He's been giving me visions of a new wine being poured into you and I as His vessels. And as that new wine is poured in, a great refreshing will come. And great power will be upon us as God's people. And we will operate, all of us, in the giftings of the Holy Spirit. As we continue to turn to Him. As we continue to be changed. As we continue to be molded, be transformed, be refired, redesigned, realigned, He will pour in. You see, the Bible says in Mark 2:22, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. You heard that twice. I didn't realize Pastor Chrissy was going to read that out. But there's a reason, and I think God wants you to hear it loud and clear this morning. It's important that we prepare ourselves as an offering for the Lord to pour into us. It's important for us as a community of believers in Jesus that if we're going to take God's prophetic word on and embrace all the blessing that is to come, we draw closer to the Father and look for His promptings. You see, He won't pour a new thing into something that doesn't want to be renewed or isn't pliable for change. Just as with new wine and old wineskin, you know there's only one outcome in that scenario. So are you and I willing to be prepared, to prepare ourselves as an offering for the Lord to use? Are we willing to say, Lord, you know what? Make me whatever you want me to be. You know, we sing that song, Do It Again, in this place. I hear it. Is that genuinely the cry of our hearts? I love when we sing that song. But only you know in your heart, only I know in my heart, whether I'm legit about that happening. Whether I'm willing to say, hey, you know what, Lord, I want you to pour in. And I'm ready to take on everything that that entails. You know, Jesus wants to move in our lives. But it's a little bit like when we first come to Christ. You know, He doesn't force us to. And He doesn't make us come to Him against our will. The Bible's very clear in this regard. You see, if we are unwilling to humble ourselves, God will resist us. It says this in James 4:6. So that is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Church, you know, I speak quite often about pride and how much of an issue it has been in my life. God's had to humble me. I've had to get onto my knees. God resists the proud. I know that for myself. I know that He can only work through me when I humble myself before Him. The Father is consistent in this, wanting us to humble ourselves before Him. The Bible uses the word repent, and we get scared of that word sometimes, but it just means to turn to Him and live a life that honors Him in order for His refreshing to occur. He is preparing this new way. So will we co-work with Him to usher it in? You know, as Peter preached in the temple in Acts 3:19 to 21, he said this: Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and He will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For He must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through His holy prophets. So just as it was then, it is now that Christ asks us to turn to Him as He prepares us for the refreshing and His outpouring of a new wine. As we turn to Him, I believe that we will see very clearly that His redesign is in progress and that He is preparing us to experience even more of what He has for us. I know so many of you in this room have seen His power, have experienced the Lord in your lives. He wants to amaze you again. He wants you to go into new places with Him. And that comes out of intimacy with Him. You see, as He renews our minds, and I believe He's already started to do this, He's starting to give us glimpses of what that more might look like. And as individuals, I believe He's beginning to shape and prepare His way for each of us. But there's a key in this preparation. And that key is obedience. That sounds really mean. That we have to be obedient. But church, you know, at the very start of this message, I didn't give you all the answers, did I? I didn't tell you the full details of Pastor Kerry's situation with credit cards. We just said, shall we pray? And we did. And we were obedient. I wonder, in those dark places in our lives, in those testing places in our lives, in the places where in the natural, man, it's just, I'm not sure this makes sense. God, what are you doing? I don't know the answer. I don't know the outcome. I don't know how it's all going to pan out. I wonder, are we willing to show that same obedience when there isn't 200 other people around us? When it's just you and the Lord. When it's just me and the Lord. You see, I look at the makeup of our church staff, for example, and the announcement of Pastor Chrissy and Pastor Kyler and their respective families moving into new territories and new assignments. And you got to understand, church, that these aren't whimsical moves. They're not necessarily the most comfortable move. But they are absolutely in obedience to where the Lord is calling them. And for me, I would rather, as we preach from this place, we preach obedience, we preach listen to Jesus. First and foremost, relationship with the Lord. We preach that. And so for me, to see two of my friends, two of my co-workers, say, you know what? It might not be comfortable. It might not have the complete outworking. I might not know the absolute outcomes of this. But I want to be obedient to the Lord. That fills me with great peace. That fills me with great peace. You know, as I've spoken to both of them, it's very obvious that their decisions are a result of the call of God on their lives. And, you know, as I said, you'll be hearing from both of them in the next couple of weeks. So they'll be sharing a little bit more about where the journey is taking each of them. But I've spoken to others in other situations within our church, in these rows, right here. And I've heard what the Lord is doing in some of you. Some of you are being led into these new ministry areas within our church. Some have that sense bubbling up in their spirit to serve in this place. You know, I heard a testimony last week of a lady in our church. We've obviously been asking for volunteers over the last few weeks. You'd have heard of our First Serve program. Some of you are doing it right now. And there's a lady in our church came and saw us, and she said, you know what, I have to do it. I have to serve. And we asked the question, where are you going to serve? What do you want to do? And she said, I don't know, but the Holy Spirit is just saying, I gotta serve in His house. The Holy Spirit is bubbling up already in some, preparing you, preparing me for a new way. You know, I've heard in the last week, God is expanding some of your hearts for missions. And some of you in this room are going to be joining missions trips for the very first times in your lives in the next few months. I'm seeing others make commitments to follow Jesus for the very first time. You know, and I saw, most of us saw just a few weeks ago on Easter Sunday, so many of you publicly saying, I choose you, Jesus, and I want to follow your way. I'm seeing the Holy Spirit bubble up in some of you already. In this time of preparation, I see Him bringing something new into your lives. And you know what? I'm not just an excited spectator in this. So I want to share a couple of things from the last few months of my life as well. And the Lord has applied this pressure upon me in the last few months. You know, He's pressed me, and in some respects, you know, that's been a process similar to the pressing that comes with making wine. And the Lord's taken me through this refining and a process of time, which again has brought me to my knees in surrender to Him. You know, that might sound a little bit scary, but the fruit of it is unbelievable. Because as I've submitted to Him, as I've meditated on those words of Jesus, not my will, Lord, but yours be done, He's begun to show me visions like I've never had before, guiding my thoughts and directing my prayers and speaking to me in a fresh way. And just last week, you know, we had a visitor into the office, and he spoke to Pastor Kerry and I about this heightened angel activity I was the first guy to go, all right, cuckoo, how you doing? Like, heightened angel activity. But, you know, I can't just hear that from someone I respect and kind of let that go. I've got to kind of check that out. I'm like, what's going on there? I know that's in the Bible. At Easter, I talked about that stone being rolled away and just casually a couple of ladies going and talking to an angel. We heard that story. So I know it's happened. And I got home that night. And I was praying over my boy as I do every evening. And I always pray that the angels of protection would be upon him. And as I'm praying it was right at the start of my prayer. I stopped. Because I said to I nudged Davinny, I said, can you see that? And she's like, what? And I'm like, there's an angel on the corner of his cot right there. And as I looked around the room, because we pray for him in semi-darkness, I see these other angels in the room. And I'm like, wow. God's showing me a new thing. I shared this with HCCO in our devos this week. And they reminded me that it does happen, that I do see angels every now and then. Somebody reminded me at an altar call, I told them that I could see a big angel behind them. But I hadn't actually seen an angel in my house before. And I'm still trying to work out, what are you showing me, Lord? What is it? Why are you heightening my senses in this area? It's exciting. And this isn't just like for you to go, oh, that's cool, Craig. I say that to you because he has new things for each of us. Because we're not of this world, are we? We're in it, but we're not of it. So I wonder what he has for you. I wonder what more he has. As he says to his church, very specifically to Hillside and its people, I am preparing a new way. And some of you might be hearing these things, angels and visions and new territories, and kind of going, whoa, what is all that about? But none of these things are beyond the reports we read in the Bible. And if we believe the Bible is a life-giving book, words inspired by God, we should know that, in fact, visions and dreams stem all the way back to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And they were very, very specific and uniquely personal. And I love this about the new way that Christ is going to work across our church. It's going to be uniquely personal. I want to remind you of some stories. So in Genesis 15, verses 1 to 6, the word of the Lord came to Abram. We know him more commonly as Abraham. It came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. How? When? Abram didn't have the details. He just knew the promise that had come from the Lord. God used Abraham and his household with unparalleled effect, despite the circumstances in the natural. Can you believe? Can you believe that God would use you for a very specific purpose? Can you believe that God would speak into your life in such a uniquely personal way, and that he wants to? I want to tell you a quick story about Ananias. Comes out of Acts 9, 10 to 19. It says this: in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. We all hear that story and think, wow, Paul, Saul, this was his making. This was his moment. But do not forget, while God was saying, "This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles," he was saying that about Saul. We shouldn't forget, Ananias was his chosen vessel to make that all possible. Ananias played an integral role in the story that the Lord knew was ahead. Ananias had no idea. Ananias was like, "Dude, have you heard about this guy? He's chopping people's heads off. You want me to go and place my hands on his eyes?" Ananias didn't sound particularly full of faith, man of God, strong and powerful. He sounded a little bit like he was freaking out. But he was obedient. And he did what God was calling him to do. You see, Saul had no idea that Ananias had been called by the Lord. But Saul was blessed by Ananias' obedience to the Lord's calling. Ananias, in full knowledge of the harm Saul was renowned for, made a step of obedience that reaped great fruit. I wonder what the Lord might be calling you into that you don't completely understand, that you don't have full visibility of. You see, Ananias is a great example of a man taking a step of obedience into uncharted waters. You see, through the Spirit of God, there is such a great empowering available, such a great revelation available, such great unlimited capacity available. I wonder if the Lord is calling any of us to play a part in someone else's story that we don't even understand the outcomes, because we're going, what am I going to do? What benefit is that for me? Ananias was merely a vessel for God to be at work. Arguably one of the most famous instances of God being at work in an outrageous way comes a little bit earlier in the book of Acts. Acts 2, 4 to 11, it says this: "And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they had heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. 'How can this be?' they exclaimed. 'These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia.'" That's the authentic way of saying it. "Paphlonia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." You see, when God pours out a fresh anointing, a fresh outpouring, a new wine, a new way to look, I wonder, how might the Lord want to work in you to further his kingdom? Is it to the ends of the earth? Is it to the nations? Is it to your families? Is it to your friends? What specific place will the Lord give you a sweetness of voice to share his message? He can do that. A personal revelation, a personal mission, a unique calling for each of you. And I just want to close, as the worship team come back to the stage, I want to close with one last scripture. And it's a scripture that I think you all know real well. And it's where Jesus turns water into wine. It's in John 2, verses 1 to 11. It says this: "On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, 'They have no more wine.' And Jesus said, 'Woman, why do you involve me?'" Just in case you're wondering why he said it that way, that wasn't a derogatory way of saying it. That was a common term used back in those days. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. I'll just try and get a picture of how big these things were. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." You know, these are the big jars that back in the day they used to, like, for their hand washing. This wasn't like crystal clear, beautiful water. This was like the manky stuff we're just going to wash our hands with and get on with things. So they draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. And the master of the banquet tasted the water
that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. You know, these jars, there was nothing overly special about them. You know, they were the jars, as I said, they were the jars that you'd wash your hands in. Can you imagine those servants? There's some random guy here called Jesus, and they're told, yeah, let's fill these things up. This guy wants us to fill these up, and then take this water over to our boss. You know, I don't know what they were thinking. I'd have been a little bit skeptical, I have to admit. But what I do know is that they were obedient. And they didn't know if their boss was going to turn around and ask them why they've asked me to drink a whole load of hand washing water. Because in the natural, that's probably what it looked like. We forget that sometimes. There are actual humans that had to take that role of taking water over to their boss. They were just obedient. They were obedient to Jesus. So church, it's a journey that I'm on as well. I ask you, when were you last obedient to the promptings of Jesus? Not just in this place, like out on the street. Out when you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you to speak to that person. Out in your home, Holy Spirit asking you to speak to that member of your family. Maybe the Holy Spirit's asking something of you that you've never done before. "Do not fear, for I am with you," says the Lord. You see, all of the guests at the wedding in Cana, they thought the best wine had already been poured. Such was the tradition of the day. But Jesus gives us this beautiful picture through this miracle that he has more than we can imagine. That his great power goes beyond our wildest dreams. And that he wants to use us as his vessels if we are willing and prepared to surrender to his way. So will you face the prospect of a new way, a fresh outpouring? Because God, I know. He wants to use each of us for great and mighty things. From the youngest person in this room to the oldest. Great and mighty things. A fresh way. A new way. His way. Do you want that this morning? Do you honestly want that this morning, church? So we're going to sing as we close. And church, I encourage you real strongly this morning to offer yourself as a sacrifice to this prophetic word. We had so many people in this place last week, and there was just this lifting of spirits, this excitement around it. And I just don't want a warm and fuzzy Jesus moment. Oh, they were lovely words. He wants to be at work in you and in I. He doesn't want it just to be words on a PowerPoint. He wants it to be real for you and for I. Will you offer yourself? Will you surrender? Will you be obedient this morning? Will you yield to the new way that the Lord wants to work through you? Will you say, use me, Lord? Will you say, have your way with me, Lord? Will you say, whatever it looks like, I want to be in your will? Why don't we sing? Why don't we stand?